So tonight we're going to be looking at how to discern the will of God. That's a big phrase for what does God want from me. And we're looking at Acts 9, 1 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" This is where we get the phrase, "saw the light." "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless, and they heard the sound but did not see anyone. Paul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from it. We would ask you to help us tonight. As we study your word, help me as I try to open it up. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do you know how to discern the will of God? Well, there are many myths having to do with the will of God. One is the map myth. God does not give a road map. Not a map, but a relationship. In the desert with the Israelites, he was a pillar of fire during the night and a cloud during the day, and they followed it. Now, he didn't tell them where they were going. He just said, "Follow these pillars." So there is the mystery myth. It will not necessarily be painful to do the will of God. Or the misery, not mystery, misery myth. Mystery myth comes later. It will not necessarily be painful. You will probably not be sent to Africa to be eaten by cannibals. You might, but you probably won't be. Do not be afraid to follow God's will. And then there's the missionary myth. This is not just for everyone although this is not just for professional missionaries and people in ministry. This is for everyone. God wants you to know His will, just not a lot of it. God has a plan for all of us. That's the first principle of the four spiritual laws. God loves you, and He has a plan for your life. I have seen many people who have taken that and grabbed onto it because they felt like their life was a railroad train, a runaway railroad train, and they didn't know what was going on or what to do about it. And when you tell them there's a plan, God has a plan for you, and He will reveal little bits of it to you as you go along. Whatever He tells you, just do it. And the next time you see them, you hear them say, all of a sudden, my life's under control. It's just not under my control. It's under God's control. But He seems to know better what I ought to do. God has a plan for all of us. Sometimes it's just a part of your normal life. Some people, look, they do their work for God. Pat was like that. Pat was an insurance agent, and she helped people, and she made sure that everything was right so that if something just did go to crap, there was insurance to take care of it. And then there's the miracle myth. This may not be dramatic. God does not necessarily have a dramatic will for you. It may just be a still small voice, which is what happened with Elijah. Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, and he wipes out the prophets of Baal. I mean, this is just wonderful victory. And the next thing you know, Jezebel is saying, God, so do to me if your life is not like one of them by tomorrow morning. And so he ran away and he was scared to death. He just wiped out 450 prophets of Baal, but he's afraid of this one wicked woman. I don't know. There's myths are that she was a sorceress or whatever. But just ask God what He wants, and He will tell you something. He may not tell you all of it. He may tell you little bits and pieces as you go along. And then there's the myth. Even if you did not follow God's will at some point in your life, He still has a will for you. It may have changed because you didn't follow the will He had for you in the first place. And so He's modified things. Okay, this is how we're going to do it now. God's will changes as you change and mature. When you were a little kid, God had will for you. As you grew up, His will for you expanded because now you're an adult. You're able to do more. He adjusts as you follow closer or less closely. This was the one where my ex-pastor used to say, God won't give you more than you can endure. I just wish He didn't trust me so much. Mm-hmm. Well, you find out over time that the more He can trust you, sometimes the harder it gets because He'll send you to harder things. And then there's the mystery myth. God's will is not hidden, but it may be withheld. He will tell you what you need to know, everything you need to know. But He may not tell you everything. He'll tell you just that part that you need to go to the next point. And He may lead you point to point to point to point. He may give you you read through the Bible, you see where God sometimes tells people, this is where you're going to end up. And they think to themselves, how is that possible? I can't possibly get there. Well, then he takes them step by step by step. And eventually, there they are. He took David from being a shepherd, step by step by step, through all kinds of trials and tribulations, till he was the king of Israel. He does not make you search for it. He makes you ask for it. And then listen and do what he tells you so that it works out right. Now, we started off looking at Paul, which is a good example. The first thing he says after getting knocked off of his horse is, who are you? I mean, this is a guy who was in great authority. He'd been given more authority even by the priests and the high priest and all that stuff. So he says, who are you that you knocked me off my horse? And then he says, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? He'd spent his life learning the answers to those two questions. There are correct principles for knowing God's will. First, you have to understand that guidance is promised. This is where I spoke this to Susie. God has three kinds of will. His prevailing will. Overall principles are God's rules. This is what, like the Ten Commandments and so on. These are rules. They're set in stone. We get that word from making stone tablets. And then there's his permissive will. He allows things, but still has general principles. When people were writing the Bible, God let them know what he wanted them to write. But they used their own styles and all that kind of stuff. And God just put his hand on there to make sure that everything came out just right. When we say the Bible is infallible, it is absolutely true and it is the Word of God. Well, it's also the Word of some people. It's big theological term is called verbal plenary. Verbal plenary says verbal, he told them what to write, plenary, and he made sure they got it correctly. And then there's God's perfect will. God's perfect will is, how do you fit in? What does he want for you? God will tell you what he wants for you. And if you don't listen, he may tell somebody else. But it'll be somebody that you'll probably listen to. I've had people that I could see God speaking into their life, and they're brushing it away. And God said, here, Walter, this is what I want you to say to this person. And I would go and say that. This was generally somebody that I had built enough respect with that they listened to me. And when I said it, they said, is that really what he wants? Yes, that's what he wants. And he wanted me to tell you because you're not listening to him. And so they then begin to listen to him and they move right away. And they move into places that I don't even go because that's their life. That's God's will for them. He just wanted me to get them off the dime. Guidance is provisional. You have to be willing to follow God's guidance. He's not going to waste his time if he knows you won't listen to him or at least listen to somebody else he sends to you. You need to have meekness, because God is the one who's in charge here. So you have to be meek towards God and say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. Jesus was God's son, but in the garden, he said, this is what I want, but not my will. Your will be done, because you're God and you're in charge. We have to have openness. Are we listening? Are we trying to find out what God wants? And do we intend to actually do it once he tells us? And we need yieldedness. Okay, Lord, I'll give you whatever you want. We had a couple. They were a little strange. The girl was very sweet and nice. Eventually he was the husband. At the time he was the boyfriend. Was very pushy. Once again, that's the way he was. You know, as soon as he came to Christ, he went to his dorm and he was telling everybody, you need to get saved right now. Very pushy. Threw a lot of people off. But this girl's life was tied up around the guy. And he crashed his car as we were going to an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Wasn't his fault. Somebody, but he was a head-on. Now, the girl got banged up, but the medics at the scene were able to bandage her up. I was sitting in the back seat. I got a little bruised. It wasn't bad. The guy ended up going to the hospital because he had been hurt he was driving, and so the steering wheel had banged him up in the chest and the stomach and so on. Well, this lady, girl, was very upset and so on like that. And Lord told me, you need to go and you need to say to her, okay, are you prepared to give him to God, if that's what God's will is? Said, I'm not saying you're going to. I'm saying, will you do it? Is that you? Are you prepared to do that? Are you yielded for this? And she got very upset. And about 5 minutes later, she came back and she said, I prayed about it. You're right. God told me he's not going to take him, but he wants me to be ready to give him. That's yieldedness. Guidance is practical. Sometimes there are miracles of God, like getting knocked off of a horse by a bolt of light. Sometimes it's the Word of God. Paul knew the Word of God, and it became clear to him when Ananias explained it to him. Remember, they didn't have a New Testament at that time. But Paul was the ultimate Jew. And so as he began to explain to him, he showed all through the scriptures where it was about Jesus. And Paul did what I've seen a number of Jews do nowadays, when you explain it to them and the Lord opens their mind. Oh, my Lord, I've missed it. That's okay. You can get it now. And then there are the people of God. God used Ananias to go and explain all this to Paul. Now understand, Paul was this great theologian. He had been trained by what they consider to be the greatest theologian they had. And this guy off the street comes in and starts explaining stuff to him. But Ananias came, and Paul felt the authority of God that this man had been sent to him. Well, first of all, God said he gave him a vision that the man named Ananias was going to come, and whatever he tells you, you better believe, boy, okay? And then there's the Spirit of God. Paul was filled with the Spirit of God when he accepted Jesus. I've always said the reason God picked Paul was because he knew at the heart of it all, Paul wanted things to go the way God wanted them. He wanted God's will to be done. He just had the wrong idea of what it was. So here he goes, off to the left. He gets knocked off a horse. He gets it all explained to him. And here he goes, full blast, back the other direction. And then there's the wisdom of God. He began preaching what God had revealed to him. When you sit and you pray and you study the Word of God, things open up to you and you can tell people. I have known people who would disparage people who were just saved because they would come up and they'd go, I found this wonderful thing that I just discovered in the Bible. And these people would say, well, I've known that from my youth. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it was a wonderful revelation to him. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to participate in his joy and his rejoicing that he has found this wonderful revelation. And then there is the providence of God. The devil spent the rest of his life trying to kill Paul. I'm pretty sure you could blame it all on him when they whacked his head off at the end of his life. But he got all the way through God, through life. And every time the devil tried to kill him, Lord would save him and take care of him. I know how that goes. You're probably aware. I tell about it all the time. I crashed my motorcycle. A lady tried to not take me out. I really felt like the devil said, I'm going to get rid of this irritating Rev Walt guy. And God said, no, you're not. And he sent angels to make sure. So what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, you can know God's will. People may tell you you cannot know God's will, but you can. You can know God's will. How much? We don't know. It's whatever he wants to reveal. You can prevent yourself from knowing God's will by getting involved in things that God does not like, that puts a block between you and him so you're not communicating. You need to just listen and be ready to do whatever God tells you. And if you are, God will speak to you and he will guide you. And you may not like it, but when you're done doing what God told you to do, you will look back and you'll say, why didn't I want to do that? Look at the wonderful results that God brought out of it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we were here tonight. We thank you that you do have a will for us and that you will tell us what we need to know if we'll just ask you. Go with us as we go out into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.